I pray, Lord, this morning that that would just come alive to us. That you would spur us this morning, Lord, to live a deeper love for everyone around us. Lord, I pray that you would come and you would fill this place, touch our hearts, Father, with your truth. Would your Spirit just come and fill this place? Lord, again, move me out of the way, and would you speak powerfully to us this morning? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. All right. If you were with us last week, you remember one of the things we decided we needed to keep on the forefront of our mind as we talk about all of these characteristics is that in general, we live out biblical principles at the very bare minimum. At the very bare minimum. We looked at Scripture in Matthew 5. It says, Jesus is talking, and he says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you should not murder. A little bit later it goes, but anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fires of hell. Jesus is correctly interpreting the Scripture. He is correctly interpreting God's will. And what God is saying is, you understand this principle way down here. Don't murder. You think that just means don't stop somebody's life. He says, but no. My standard, what I mean by that is way up here. Even if you call somebody a fool. In general, we understand and live out biblical principles at that barest of minimums. And there's probably no characteristic that this is truer than the characteristic of love. The love that God talks about in Scripture is so much deeper than the love that we see lived out. So, how does the world view love? It just so happens that this was a trending topic on Twitter this week. And I know we're all very big Twitter users. I looked this up. There was a hashtag, what is love in four words? So, I grabbed some of my favorites. The very first one, at IR Wishes says, free pizza for everyone. Wait a minute. There's an air gap. The first one was free pizza for everyone. I must not have gotten that into him. The second one is at Olaf Snowman, I like warm hugs. At Paula Abdul wrote acceptance, forgiveness, compassion, and gratitude. At Ciara Hannah 20, cooked you some bacon. Yeah. I love you. Cooked you some bacon. I don't know where that accent came from. I'm sorry. The next one is probably my wife's favorite. At Madeline_Holler said, I made you coffee. Love you. It's one of my favorite. At Words_Emotion. I brought you donuts. It's a lot of food. When I was reading through this, there's an awful lot of food. At Josh_Karen_ said acceptance of their flaws. All right, so I understand that this is Twitter, right? I mean, this is not hard research. It's certainly not exhaustive, and really it's not reliable. And yet, I think we can sort of get a flavor for what people think. What level do people think of love? I think we can sort of get a flavor of that from Twitter. And I think what's interesting, what becomes clear in this picture, is just how watered down love is in our culture. How watered down this is. I mean, you have to have a really unhealthy connection to bacon for that to be what love is. What does God say about love? 1 Corinthians 13, it's many times referred to as the great love chapter. God says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. John 15, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Man, what a difference between what God says about love and what the world says about love. And honestly, there are more passages about love. If I just read the passages on love, we would not have time to get through them all. If we didn't comment on any one of them, just read them. But I hope the picture is clear how different those perspectives are. And I think one of the problems with love, one of the difficulties in our culture, that our world, that we have with love, is that God's design of love is really beyond my ability to comprehend. The depth of it is greater than I can really fathom. Let me read Ephesians 3. It says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God tells us in his word the true love that God created is, it surpasses knowledge. It is more than we can wrap our little heads around. We talked last week about how Scripture is written sort of like an onion. You just keep peeling layers away and you keep seeing a deeper and deeper and a deeper truth. What is so wild to me about love is that God is telling us here, you peel that onion as far as you want to, it is deeper than you can comprehend. Okay. Let's get to the passage that Roland read this morning. It's out of the Gospel of John, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, this is the key part, you ready? He now showed them the full extent of his love. He showed them the full extent of his love. Now Jesus is about to be arrested. And he's about to be beaten and spit on, and he is going to be stripped naked and hung on a pole. Tortured. And killed in what is called the most painful form of capital punishment ever used. And he's telling us here in John 13, that's what he's about to do. And he says, I am about to show them the extent of my love. Why? Because of love. Not the I brought you donuts kind of love. The my entire being is giving all that I am, all that I have, with no expectation of anything in return kind of love. That is remarkable. I gotta tell you, it has taken me years. I have not fully grasped this. It's so easy to sort of gloss over what Jesus did. The pain that he endured. Not because of him, but because of how wretched I am. Because my heart is an idol factory. Because I can't go one day, 1 hour, probably 1 minute without having some sort of sin percolating in my heart. And I used to think, when Jesus paid this price and he endured the torture and the shame of my sin, I used to think that he did it because he wanted something from me. I really did. And I confess that as sinful. That's not at all it. I used to think that he did it because he wanted me to believe in him. And that would somehow make that pain and suffering worthwhile. That's not true. Jesus died. He went through all of that with no expectation of any response. I believe wholeheartedly Jesus would have gone through all of it, even if no one would ever have accepted him, simply to give us the opportunity to be right with God. There's no expectation of a response. He did it out of pure love. To give us an opportunity to be right with God. Man, that's the kind of love that God says we can't fully fathom. Can you guys fathom that kind of love? I cannot. I think about it all the time. I cannot wrap my head completely around it. It is mind-blowing. I grumble when I have to get up in the middle of the night because the kids are crying. My wife has me spoiled. Not only does God tell us that that's the kind of love he showed us, he told us it's the kind of love we should live out. Okay. Back to John 13. He showed them the full extent of his love. How did Jesus live this out? All right. So he saw a need that we couldn't do, right? We cannot be made right with God on our own. It is impossible, despite our best efforts. So he saw a need that we couldn't do on our own, and he did it for us. He showed us the full extent of his love. How are we showing love? How are we showing love? How are we living that out? Look at John 13, 34 through 35. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. Man, as God has loved us. Again, not that Twitter feed kind of love, but that gut-wrenching, blood-sweating, hardest thing I've ever had to do, and it takes all of me to do it, kind of love. That can be hard, though, can it? I was talking to my wife this week, I'm like, you know, what is it that makes that so hard? Everybody's a little bit different. But in general, I think it's hard because people are irritating. People are irritating and they're frustrating. And if I'm honest, they make me kind of angry. I've had lots of jobs where part of my job is to answer the phone and talk to people. There are lots of times I hang up the phone and I roll my eyes. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. People, they make me angry. And when they do that, there's part of me that decides, I am not going to show them the same type of love that I'm going to show these people over here, because they don't deserve it. They did this silly, foolish thing over here. If you make me angry, I don't want to show you love. My wife and I, from time to time, we fight. Can I say that? Can the pastor admit that? From time to time, my wife and I don't see eye to eye. You can pray for my poor wife. She is just a saint and an angel, and God gave her me. But do you know when generally you work through stuff, right? Something will come up, you disagree, you work through it. It might even be sort of a hard conversation. Oh boy, I really disagree with you. I disagree, and this is why, and this is why. Those are good, healthy conversations. Do you know when they escalate to fights? At least for me, maybe this isn't for you. For me, when they escalate to fights is when I get angry. And I stop showing love. And my grace and my compassion go out the window. And my wife says, I disagree with you, Peter. And I say, I don't care. Oh. When I decide not to show this all-encompassing love, self-sacrificial love, then it becomes a real fight. When I stop showing this God-ordained love, it becomes a real fight. Because we decide who we show love to, right? Let me tell you one quick story. Just so I don't look so bad. You guys know who the prophet Jonah was. He was a prophet of God. In the Old Testament, what that meant was before they had the full inherent word of God, and so God would have one person a generation, basically. Sometimes they overlap, but basically one person a generation who was tasked with speaking for God to the people. He would tell the people, this is God's will for your life. Right? This is what God wants from you. And I mean, it implies a close relationship with God, doesn't it? A deep understanding of who God is and His character are probably prerequisites to this job. So Jonah is a prophet of God, and there's a time when God says to Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to proclaim my love to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah says, I want nothing to do with that. And so he runs in the exact opposite direction. And there's all there's a whole other story about on a ship and being run over and 3 days in the belly of a fish. But eventually God gets him to Nineveh and he shares God's message of love with the Ninevites. And tells them to stop doing the evil things that God is telling them to stop doing. It's interesting. Listen to what Jonah says. So he shares. The Ninevites look like they're repenting, and this is what Jonah says. He prayed to the Lord. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Boy, those Ninevites made Jonah angry. And he didn't want to show love to the Ninevites. And he was so angry that he knew God would. I know, God, what you think of when you talk about love. And I know you're going to forgive those guys out of love. And I want nothing to do with it. I would rather die than to see your love expressed that deeply to them. And I read that this week, and it sort of pricked my heart a little bit, and I'm like, oh, am I guilty of the same thing? Maybe not an entire city or nation like Nineveh, but are there times or people when I say, oh, God, I know your love is so deep. I don't want it shown to them. I don't want it expressed to them. I don't want to live it out to them because they make me angry. And I wonder, are there times when we're not drawing close to God, or maybe like Jonah, we're in fact running the entire opposite direction because we don't want God's love expressed to whoever. Psalm 63:3 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Man, God's love is so much deeper than we understand. The love we live out is we're called to be so much deeper than what we do. I'm out of time, but here's the challenge for the week, okay? Can we spend some honest time with God? Spend some honest time with God and say, God, who is it that gets under my skin that it's hard for me to show love to? Who is it that just, oh, they're just sandpaper to me? And I don't want your love expressed to them. We don't want God's abounding love. Be before God, ask that, and then ask for strength and courage to follow Jesus' example. When he says he showed them the full extent of his love. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Lord, we thank you for your deep and passionate and incredible love. Thank you, Lord, that we are so undeserving I am so undeserving. And yet you lavish your love. God, would that love just fill us and overflow from us? May our lives be marked by that love flowing from us to those around us. Pray, Lord, that we would spend our lives not running away from you, but running towards you, looking for the people that you want us to demonstrate your abounding love, to show the full extent of your love. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.